back swerving like I'm George Jones. Smoke rolling out the window and ice cold beer sitting in the console.
Hey, this is All Over the Road with Pirate and Chewbacca. This is show number 36, recorded on Election Day, October 5th, 2024. The day has finally arrived. We've been out for a few weeks, so we've been eager to get a show going today. So welcome back, Pirate.
Yo, ho, ho, I voted today.
Yes, we all voted today, and
I put the sticker on my ass right here.
I saw a guy, because I stopped by Publix afterwards, I saw a guy wearing a shirt said, "I'm voting for the felon." But here we are, man. So what do you think? The results are starting to come in a little bit right now. This is 7:30 right now on an election evening here, and I got Louder with Crowder on. Funny guy, political commentary, but funny. And they're doing their banter kind of like we're doing right now. The difference is that we're not doing this live and they are. You know, I got to figure that out, how we can do a live show. That would be kind of cool, huh?
Yeah, we'd have to probably
just think about it. It'll still record it, but the live show will play just in its entirety with no editing whatsoever, and then it saves that recording for you so you can do something with it later. But I got to figure that out. We'd have to do that on YouTube, maybe Rumble.
Yeah, once we get on one of those sites, let's do it. I'll do a live.
Yeah, no, that'd be kind of...
And then you can actually take live calls.
Yeah. Well, we need a business line for that. I'm not giving... Right now, I'm using my personal
cell phone. Get a burner phone, right?
Yeah, but then it has to connect into the board. We don't know if it's going to do that or not.
Oh, well, we could find something. I'm sure we can do it.
Yeah. So anyways, what do you think is going to happen tonight, man? What is your thoughts and feeling about tonight's election? Is it going to be Donald or is it going to be Kamala?
I really don't know. And what I hope happens is it's a fair election.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's a landslide or it's neck and neck, I just hope that there's no cheating on either side. Right. Let's make this a fair election.
Right. Right. Well, the talking head said it's going to be a close election, so we'll see. But here's the thing. Florida, I read an article today, Florida was supposed to be, according to the talk, the pollsters, supposed to be another purple state because a lot of people from up north moved down here, right? We are deep red and the numbers are so off.
They are off.
The polls are off. Because I don't know if you remember back in 2016, Hillary had it in the bag as far as the polls go. And then look what happened.
Well, and a lot of pollsters and a lot of also... political strategists have said, do not look at the polls.
Right, right.
Because they are basically, you know, slanted, or they're either that, they're propaganda to get you to think, well.
Or not even just go vote.
Yeah, what they want you to do is think, well, Kamala's, she's really winning. I'm just going to stay home. To hell with it. I don't make a difference. My vote don't count.
Yeah.
But
our votes do count.
You do count.
Yeah, votes do count. That's what we got to know. Yeah, I don't know either, man. I mean, I really don't
want to be the crystal ball reader.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to, I mean, both.
If it was versus Biden, I would be way more confident in saying, yeah, Trump's got this. But with Kamala, this party pretty much anointed her. She didn't get a single primary vote.
Well, she didn't do any campaign funding or any.
Yeah, she just jumped on the.
She jumped on the bandwagon and was thrown in place.
Oh, yeah. And then she was one of the more unpopular VPs in recent history as well. She got nothing really accomplished as a VP. She was a couple deciding votes on the bills like Biden economics. She was the deciding vote. Oh, well, look how that worked out. Biden economics. It's just amazing how they went from Joe Biden's our man. To he does the debate and he did terrible at it. And it was almost like he was set up to fail so they can bring in Kamala because they knew they had nobody else.
Oh, I think that was the plan all along.
Oh, yeah. And I think part of it is why Joe Biden the last few days has been gaffing, maybe even hijacking her campaign by calling all, you know, Trump people garbage. He said he wanted to spank them in the ass.
Oh, yeah.
How about the biting on the babies?
I think all of this is on purpose.
Oh, yeah.
I think all of it is to make Kamala look better than him. They had to figure out. I mean, it's genius.
It is. It's good strategy.
They are strategists. They know what they're doing. Yeah, Democrats.
It's working, ain't it?
Because we're
in the I don't know category.
Oh yeah.
If this was Trump versus Biden, no doubt about it. But the times change, and the media and the corporations who support Democrats have really ramped up the machine as far as getting the word out there, even though they still constantly repeat hoaxes about Donald Trump that were debunked, like the Fine People hoax. You know, even yesterday, Barry Obama still brought it up in the speech, even though it's been debunked, still saying that Trump called Nazis fine people. I mean, he's just outright lying to your face and telling me this is why I should vote for Kamala. It's like, what happened to the principles here? And that's the challenge with politics. There is no principles. It's cutthroat. It's backstabbing. It's propaganda. It's telling, and part of that propaganda is telling people things either they want to hear or scare you out of things that they say they're going to do. And I was watching the Joe Rogan podcast earlier with Elon Musk. Boy, he got deep. They both got deep into conspiracy stuff that is pretty viably that could happen. And Elon was just basically talking about that this could be our last legitimate election ever, especially if Trump doesn't win, like if Kamala wins. And the reason why he predicts this is the Democrats are going to pass state laws that will allow illegal immigrants to vote for them or vote. Well, who do you think they're going to vote for? They're in the bag with the Democrats.
They're going to vote for Santa Claus. Well,
they're going to vote blue because they've been promised a lot of free things. Get set up in housing, food, whatever.
Hotels, phones.
Right, everything. And that'll continue.
Snap cards.
And his fear is that they will turn these battleground states into blue states. Whereas right now we have contrast. We have different parts of the country that's red and blue. The point being is they're going to work on the states that they can turn blue, and you'll never have a Republican win an election again. This is just his prediction. I don't know if I buy that or not. I don't think it's that bad yet, but we got to predict in a way the crystal ball with this is that if Kamala becomes our president, we are fucked. I think we're fucked either way, but I think we're less fucked under Trump versus Kamala.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, you know, if she becomes president now, we just, you know, obviously we've got a generation of older folks.
Mm-hmm.
They're very liberal, a lot of them. They follow whatever the drive-by media talks about. They drink the Kool-Aid
They do no research.
They do no research.
They do one source.
Yes.
And then they say this is the way it is.
And it's like with the vaccines and
you couldn't even talk against the vaccines or you're the problem.
And so, you know, hypothetically, let's talk about this. When they're all done and gone. Mm-hmm. Live their life, they're passed on, what have you. We have a new generation.
Maybe it'll be a reset.
Maybe it'll be a reset because, you know, your next generation is your Gen X folks. Yeah. And then you got your millennials.
Or Zers, whatever.
Zers. And, you know, the new ones, the alphas, are thinking different.
Oh, yeah.
And your Zers are, too.
Oh, yeah. The Zers are thinking different, too. They're not thinking about all this government stuff and all these leftist ways. America was founded on leave me alone, basically.
It's what it needs to be.
And that's the challenge and the problems and the things that's been happening too much in this country over the years is, especially now, look, we've had a lot of atrocities. We're not perfect, but we are the most perfect nation for this planet, still in my opinion. And it was, and now we're at the idea of just leave me alone. I don't care if you're gay. I don't care if you're a Democrat. I don't care if you're a communist. As long as what you're doing doesn't affect me and what I do doesn't affect you, we'll be good. But that's the challenge.
Well, the challenge is, Chewy,
people won't leave people alone.
We are at that point where they're not.
Right.
They are bothering us. It's a problem because they want to have transgender guys.
Yeah, they want a guy changing in a woman's bathroom.
And they want him to play volleyball.
And they want to pin that on Trump. They tried to pull that one on me the other day. They wanted to pin that on Trump. And I'm like, what does it matter? Where in the federal government and the Constitution is it their job to be given transgender surgeries to people in prison on top of that?
It does not have anything to do with the federal government.
Exactly.
And where does it say it's okay to let a transgender man fight in women boxing up against a female boxer?
Well, I still think as far as freedom goes, that should be up to the rules of the committee that's in charge of that.
Exactly.
And you do tests. Like if I'm going to run a boxing thing, I will run a test to make sure you really are a male and you really are a female. And that's who you're going to box. You're going to have women versus women, men versus men. Obviously, you got to have the weight category thing going on, too. But that's what it takes. If they want to have transgender Olympics, go ahead.
See, that would be better. Have a transgender.
Right.
Olympics.
It doesn't bother me if you want to be a transgender. But where they cross the line is when they telling me I have to. No, that's when you need to take a step back. I don't have to do anything you're telling me to do because what I'm doing is not affecting you. What you're doing is not affecting me. You're about to affect me because you're telling me, forcing me, trying to get me to say something that goes in line with your belief. I'm allowed to have a different belief. You're allowed to have a different belief. And I think that's what's happening. We've got too many people impeding on your own personal space.
Well, that's
personal freedoms.
Let's talk about why this country was founded. Well, one of the reasons was, you know, religion. Religion was a big, big reason why this country was started because folks over in Europe wanted to practice being Methodist or.
Well, they were under the thumb of the church over there,
too. They wanted to be Church of God or they wanted to be Church of, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Mormons, all types of religions had come here because in their countries, in Germany, France, Poland, whatever they had over there, England, it was outlawed. You practice the religion that we're telling you.
Yeah. And you pay your taxes.
And see, we're here in America now, and the Constitution was founded on these principles.
Well, you can practice what you want here.
And yes, you can practice being a transgender. And yes, you can practice being a Catholic or a Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be a transgender or bisexual or whatever the hell you want to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when those people came over to be Mormons, we said, go ahead, be a Mormon.
Yeah, be a Mormon.
We're okay. Go ahead, be the Church of God. Go ahead, be the Baptist, whatever you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
But why is it that these Democrats and liberals have to shame folks for being the Baptist, for being the Mormon,
I can tell you because...
Oh, you're against transgender. Oh, well, yeah, that exactly. Can't happen.
Exactly. No, I can tell you the strategy because they believe in unity as long as you go along with what they tell you, you got to do. We're good. I'm going to talk as a Democrat right now or a leftist. We're good as long as you stay with what we tell you you're supposed to stay with. You start going outside of that, we're going to have problems.
Well, that's a communist thinking. That is communist thinking.
I don't know if that's communist thinking.
Unity.
You're right. I think it's more of a, I guess it's a little communist because it's more of a, like a totalitarian kind of attitude.
It very much is.
Right. But the difference is that this is the people versus the government. You can have a community of communists in this country. There's nothing we can do about that. If they want to run their town, go ahead.
If they want to move to South Texas and build a big old fence around their property, make a compound and be communists, so be it.
Yes, so be it.
Yep.
But it's when they're trying to push their values and their morals and their lifestyle onto you. And if you disagree with it, they try to cancel you. They try to call you names. They try to put you all over the internet that you're a hater. No, it's not a hater. It's like I can disagree with you.
Opinions are great to have.
I mean, let me for example, the Dallas Cowboys. I don't like that football team. Okay, whatever. I got my own reasons. So what they're trying to tell me is that if I don't like the Dallas Cowboys, then I'm hating on the team.
You're a hater, Chewy.
Right, but through their ideology, I should join the collective and just go along with everybody's a Dallas Cowboy fan.
Oh, instead you got to like the Chiefs then, right?
Yeah. But that's the thing. It's just leave me the fuck alone. And I leave you alone. You leave me alone. We're good.
See, and that is the principles that most conservatives, most rural people, and even some suburban people have is
leave me alone.
Leave me the hell alone. I want to go to work. I want to come home, want to eat dinner, spend time with my family.
Watch some TV.
Watch a little boob tube.
Yep.
Sit down, have a Miller Lite.
Yep.
Go to bed and wake up, do it all over again.
Do it all over again, and then on the
weekend. And I don't want you, Uncle Sam, to interfere.
Right.
I don't need you. I don't need you to help me. Mm-hmm. All I want is my income tax that you overcharged me, refunded to me.
Yeah, well, that could be a whole other subject right there.
Because a lot of people think that when they get a tax refund, that's not.
Yeah, you're just getting your money back.
You're getting your money back that Uncle Sam borrowed from you. You are loaning Uncle Sam.
And didn't even pay interest on it. Ain't that rich?
Ain't that the shit?
They took our check forcibly, because try not to pay taxes, see what happens. At least, you know, I work for a corporation. So my check is already automatically deducted for taxes. Did I get a choice in that?
No, you didn't. And the company didn't either.
No. Because they have to pay taxes.
And they pay an employment tax on your taxes.
Oh, yeah.
It's
crazy, dude.
So they're paying your employment taxes. They're also paying your, because they're paying you a wage. Obviously, you earn that tax wage, but obviously it's coming out of their coffers.
Mm-hmm.
So they're paying your taxes. They're paying your Social Security.
Yep.
You earned it, but they're paying it.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
And then offer to be told that, you know, it's not enough. Like, we need more government.
Yeah, we want to tax you more.
Well, and not even just tax you more. They want more government as far as more regulations and more oversight and more restrictions.
And what are we getting out of it?
I don't know.
We're being told.
More frustration.
More frustration because we're being told that, well, you have to accept a male boxer, transgender, fight that woman over there. That's a woman.
No, I don't.
But that's what they're wanting us to do.
I know.
In return.
Right.
And I don't want it. You don't want it. But our opinion.
I know your girls are all adults now. But what if you were put in the situation where one of your daughters comes home and is very upset, and you find out let's say your hypothetical daughter's 13. She came home to tell you that she literally saw a boy, not naked, but in their locker room, changed down to their underwear to change for PE. Because I don't remember anyone getting naked for PE. But I'm just saying. Stripped down, came into the locker room, stripped down to his underwear to change into PE, and then went out to PE and did the same thing before going back to normal class. How would you react to that? I mean, would you go down to the school and like, hey, what's going on here? I know I would. I mean, we need to talk about this. You're allowing a male who identifies as a female to now change in the female locker room? That's a problem here.
I think I would jump in my truck and go down and visit Mr. Rooney.
Yeah, Ed Rooney.
Yeah. And I would tell Rooney, hey, this shit's disgusting, dude. Why would you have a boy in the girls' locker room?
And I can tell you the answer, because we believe in inclusivity around here. It's okay for us to force our ideology and our religion and everything on you. But the other way around, you bring up Jesus in school. Oh, no. Now you crossed a line. But nope. With them, they don't have any lines that you cross. That's no. That's the problem.
Their lines are crossable.
Look,
we can't cross them because
we kind of mix Democrats and liberals and everything. They're actually not bad people. They actually at one time believed in freedom and patriotism and small government and accountability and freedom of speech. It's the leftists that have hijacked the party.
Well, let's talk about this. Let's peel the onion off. When you say the Democrat Party, you start with the liberals first.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the the leftists. You have the communist leftists.
The leftists are the communists.
Yes. And then you have your middle-of-the-road rhinos.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yep.
And those are pretty much your groups that are in that Democrat Party.
But here's the thing.
So think of all their idealisms that they bring.
Well, no, they feed off of each other. But here's the thing. Republicans these days act like what Democrats used to act like.
Oh, yeah. The old Southern Democrats.
So the country, to me, feels we're very all shifted to the left. And that's why things are so fucked up right now, because we don't have balance in this country. because the Republicans are weak. They don't have any. They don't have much principle themselves. They keep voting for big government. They don't slow it down.
They don't.
And but they still talk sense of, hey, like, you know, Republicans. Most Republicans will tell you they're against, you know, a man changing in a woman's bathroom. You know, and that's how Democrats we used to talk. Not anymore. Now the leftists, the communists, are the ones saying, no, this is human rights. Oh, transgender rights is human rights. Blah, 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 blah.
Well, let's talk about these women Democrats, these angry women that are, it's a woman's choice to have an abortion.
That I agree with that. It's their body.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, they label anybody that is against it is evil.
Right, right, right.
And that's when it affects the Republican Party.
But taking a life out of your body, look, the baby's part of the mom. They're symbionts. But taking a body, because that's what it is, you don't want to call it a baby. You want to call it a fetus or something. Taking that body out of you and destroying it, putting death to a person, they want to act like that's not evil. Because that's the thing. Look, abortion is in the medical terms, sometimes it's necessary that they got to do it.
Sure,
because,
it is.
Because
sure.
The woman can be, it's either the mom or the baby or both.
They're distressed.
Right. You got to make a tough choice. I get that. Abortion, in my opinion, and I'm still pro-choice, by the way, but abortion should not be used as birth control. It should be something that doesn't happen that often because mistakes happened or there's a medical problem, whatever. And that's where this gets in this whole big abortion debate, my body, my choice. And I still believe in that, but you shouldn't be using abortion as birth control because somebody's paying for it. Abortions aren't free. They say, oh, I went to the clinic and I didn't have to pay. That's bullshit.
Well, let's talk about
birth
control and day after pills. That's almost the same thing.
Yeah.
There are day after pills. Those are considered abortions.
Yeah. Well, because the cells are already starting to form into a human and those day after pills kill it. I mean, it's a controversial subject, but
it is. And let's say this. Does the federal government even need to be involved in this dispute?
As far as being a pure constitutionalist, zero.
And that's what I think.
And that's what happened with that Supreme Court ruling a couple years ago that they overturned Roe versus Wade. They said the federal government in the early 70s overstepped their authority.
They did.
To tell states that you must allow abortions. They said this is a federal issue, meaning that the states have every right to decide whether they want to allow abortions or not. Our state is one of them. We had it on the ballot today, and it was still limited though. It wasn't like, yay, let's go out and have abortions all the time. It's not about that. So,
and I'm sure more legislation has to be pushed for that item.
Yeah. Just because we vote for it. Now they still have to get something through. They have a deadline, but they have to come up with the laws of
regulating
the regulations, the structure of it and everything. And then the governor has to sign off.
Yeah, he might see it and say,
nope, this is crap.
Well, hell, this ain't written right.
Well, because the governor has to enforce those laws.
I'm sure he does.
You know, the governor, but yeah, it just, you know, but let's get back on the topic of the election here, because, you know, with what Elon said, that this could be our last legitimate election, the thing is,
we do know that for Trump it is
right. Well,
he's already pretty old.
No, you're not hearing me. I'm meaning that if Trump doesn't win this election,
it's over for everybody because who else do we have?
Republicans. Not about who else you have. The Republicans will never get the votes to ever win the presidency again.
And is
or the Senate or the Congress?
And is that because the demographic of Republicans is aging out?
No, it's because they're going to let illegal aliens vote.
That too.
In the next election. That's who they're going to vote for. They're going to vote for the Democrats. The 2028 elections could be so-called fair.
I don't know if I see that coming, but it could.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Everything the Democrats accuse Republicans and Trump of doing, they're doing it themselves. They said he's going to throw journalists in jail. Well, they've been trying to throw him in jail over BS prosecution. Well,
they call him a felon all the time. Yeah,
and he is. He is a felon. He is a convicted felon. Sure. He just hasn't been sentenced yet. They call him a Nazi and his supporters garbage, and that they say all these nasty things themselves, and then they talk out of both sides of their ass. Kamala says, "Well, we need to unite." Well, are you going to allow a Nazi to come to your table then? There's no
you can't
logic.
Unite when you keep freaking doing right. these jabs.
When you keep poking and poking and name unite. Calling and everything. I don't want to unite.
Well, it makes the garbage people get infuriated.
Right. Why would I want to come to the table with
me
you?
Being a piece of garbage? I get infuriated when I see her or hear her or other people like her talking about supporters like the garbage supporters.
Mm-hmm.
That, oh, well, you guys are garbage because you support, you know,
right?
You know, no taxes or gun rights.
People even see that in sports, you know. Yeah. But back in the day when Tom Brady was on the Patriots, only people in New England loved him. Everybody right. else thought the Patriots was garbage, not meaning that they suck, just you're tired of, kind of like the Chiefs right now, you're tired of seeing them win all the time. I was like, geez, I recognize the effort. I recognize the talent. Coaching.
I will say I did watch that game last night.
And that hurt. Bucks lost to the Chiefs in overtime.
That son of a bitch, he ran for a touchdown. He has no problem running.
No.
Did you see him? And he has no problem throwing a Hail Mary.
No.
I mean, he's a damn good quarterback.
Mahomes is a good guy, man. He is. Yeah. I do not, he is a good quarterback. I do not dislike the guy.
I mean,
just like seeing him win all the time.
I mean, let him have his prime.
Yeah,
let him.
Not against us, Bucks.
I mean, Baker Mayfield, he's a new guy to this thing. I mean, he's trying.
Remember, our Bucks of 2 years ago defeated Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. So
we did.
So he's not Superman either. But I tell you what, he is.
This is his prime.
He is pretty damn good, though.
This is a good year for him. The last 2 years, I mean, he's in his prime.
Yeah, he's a heck of a quarterback. He's
pretty damn good.
And you know, he seems like a cool guy.
Oh, he seems pretty. He doesn't ever say anything wacky or stupid or anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, let the guy do his thing. You know, if he's going to kick everybody's ass, let him do it, man.
Yeah. Well,
you know.
But that's all I got for the election because we're kind of in a wait and see thing. You got anything else you want to throw in before we move on?
Well, I mean, I went to the election off the place where I go for my election.
Your precinct.
Precinct, that's the word.
Yes.
So I went there. We have several precincts conjoined together because they lost their buildings.
Yeah.
So the place I go
mine
to
was multi too.
So mine's a large iglesia,
mm-hmm.
big church.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there were some people that were confused.
Mm.
And,
what were they confused about?
Confused which polling place to go to and which I think that's a little bit strange. I'm like, you know,
you should have offered them a drink.
Yeah, I should have.
216 barrels of rum.
So even one guy got into our precinct building, little side building,
mm-hmm.
and he even got his little ticket, his little, you know, his, not his ticket.
Your ballot number.
Ballots. And then one lady finally caught it after the fact that's, you can't vote in this precinct, sir.
Mm-hmm.
You need to go over to the next room.
Was he an old man or was
he? He was like, you know, older, but not a geezer or nothing. I'm just saying,
you're supposed to check this before you get in the car and just drive.
Well, somewhere. I thought that too, but even too, the poll workers should have caught it.
Well, eventually they did, but they kind of zoned out there for a second.
Well, they're usually these women or older ladies that.
Well, they got that little iPad in front of them and everything. Where was the verification there?
Don't they have to show your ID?
Yeah, you show your ID, and then you have to sign in through the computer pad thing, and they ask you if your address is still up to date, and then they have you sign it. So,
and I even seen
why wasn't that computer rejecting them? Like, this isn't you.
Well, there was even one guy that says, well, my license, driver's license is online.
No.
And I was thinking, this guy's trying to scam.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, in the line, I got there right as the crack of dawn when they opened at 7 a.m.
Are you sure we're talking about the same people?
We are. and so at 7 a.m., there was probably about 30 people in line.
Mm-hmm.
We all went into their little buildings, and it moved quite quickly at 7 a.m.
Well, how long did it take?
Well, I was out of there in about 20 minutes.
Not too bad.
Yeah.
I got you beat.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you went. You went later.
3 minutes.
Nobody was there at 9.
I timed it. No, I went at 9:15.
Well, I had other prior things.
Well, you went when other people have to go to work, so I get it. Because I did talk to the polling people this morning. I said, was it busy this morning? A lady was like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It
was a big-ass line.
And then I said, so you're going to expect another turnout this evening? She was like, oh, yeah.
I bet you lunchtime was busy, too.
No, I went by there at lunchtime. Wasn't bad at all.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, people are still working. They're not going to think about it. If they work in downtown
Tampa. Maybe 7 p.m. it was
busy. Oh, yeah. If they work in downtown Tampa or something, they're going to drive all the way back to Brandon to vote and go back.
Or maybe those people were like, well, Kamala's leading. Fuck it. I'm not going to.
On that, but that's why they have early voting. I get it.
Could be a lot of early voters.
There was.
They said it was record early voting.
There was. So you got a good chunk of people already out of
the way. So let's talk about early voting, and let's talk about mail-in ballots.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my thing is mail-in ballots should only be for folks that are
overseas military. Yeah.
Maybe on a special, you know, maybe they're a merchant marine.
Yeah, but isn't that part of the conspiracy, the scam? That's how they're able to cheat, because they stuffed ballots, you know?
And I don't even know. Maybe it should be, you know what, you're overseas and all that. Oh, well, too bad.
No,
you got to be here to vote. I mean,
no, you should still have a right to vote. But the early voting started during COVID because people were scared of going in and mail-in ballots and all that.
Maybe they should only say, look, you can early vote if you're a military. You just got to find your way to a polling place on a base.
Right. Well, that's where you're not going to go anywhere else.
Yeah. And maybe they should just do, because I think mail-in ballots is just.
I mean, I was in Japan when Bubba got elected.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't vote then because I didn't care.
Oh, you didn't vote for Perot?
Who was it? That was Bush, Clinton, and Perot, right?
Yeah.
I was in Japan, so the voting, we had voting on the base in Japan. But
okay.
I just wasn't interested because I saw this big-ass line with all these Marines and sailors standing in. I'm like, I don't care.
Oh, come on, man. You should have voted.
Well, at the time, I didn't care. I didn't do my first election until
2000?
No. 98
election.
The midterms.
Okay.
Yeah, I joined in the midterms because Bubba was still president in 98.
Yep.
But no, man. So, I mean.
Well, and then So the early voting, I could probably say, well, I trust it, but who's handling these ballots in the interim?
Yeah, where are they being secured?
Where are they secured?
Are they being switched out?
How are they being transported?
All right.
What's going on?
And that's the conspiracy with happened between Biden and Trump in 2000, that there was stuffed ballots. There were dead people who voted, people who were registered who didn't exist.
Immigrants that came.
Mickey Mouse.
They gave their ID and they let them come in.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
and here's the thing, too.
I think it should be limited.
I think it should be limited to certain people. You should have to put an application to vote early or application to do mail-in.
Right.
They should check you out, figure out if you apply, if you fit their standards and say, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like we have to get a concealed weapons permit. They check us out. They bend us over, spread our cheeks, and say, okay, you can get the gun. I mean, don't they?
I didn't go that far, but.
No, I mean, what I'm saying is, I'm just saying.
Well, remember, I didn't even have to take the test.
Well, I know.
You know, I got an exemption because of a prior service. So, you know, volunteering for our federal government, you know, does have its perks here and there, you know.
Yeah, I get it. Well, I mean, the thing is like my wife even asked me, my loving wife, she said, why do we have to, Pirate, why do we have to have early voting and mail-in voting? She goes, why can't everybody just come to the polling place together? I said, I don't know.
But there are circumstances of why.
And that's what I told her. I said, maybe their circumstances are that they're, you know, they're not able to. They're in a wheelchair or they can't, maybe they can't travel. Or
work conflict.
Or work. I mean, I work, but obviously I am an entrepreneur, so I can.
Well, Sunday, the early voting was open up here down the road at the library.
But if you are a worker, Sunday things are open.
Yeah, yeah.
So why is that a problem?
Because they worry about the cheating.
Yes. So that's the big to-do. I really think that, and I know that if certain parties get involved, they're not going to.
I think both parties would do it, though.
Both parties.
I think what I've been hearing about this election, because people worry about the steal happening and everything, what I've been hearing is that there are thousands and thousands of more people monitoring the polling stations now and legally fought to be there. Because last time some Republican official showed up to a polling station, and the polling station wouldn't let him in. They're like, no, you're not coming in here, and we don't have to let you in here.
Well, I did see a lot more folks in the polling station. How about you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, there's definitely more monitoring going on, and it should. But here's the thing. Okay, we have paper ballots here. We do the little bubble in here. What's to say when you put that thing in the scanner, it doesn't change your vote on you? Because that's where the computer part kicks in. And that's what bothers me.
What's to say it's not reading your bubble in?
Or it accidentally just skipped the person you're voting for. How convenient, you know? That's the part of the computers I don't trust.
Yeah, that's some...
And I work in IT.
That's some South American stuff shit you're talking about right there.
Banana Republic.
That's using, Banana Republic
using
shit right
modern
there.
Technology. That's what it is.
That
banana,
could happen.
Banana, but, you know, I would get told I'm a conspiracy theorist, you know, because there's checks and balances.
Well, we are in a conservative state with a conservative governor that's pretty staunch.
Yeah.
But we are in a lib county.
Yeah.
Well, so.
Well, so far this county.
We have a lib Democrat.
Mayor.
Voting, what do they call that?
Base.
No, the guy that's in charge, supervisor of elections.
Oh, that don't bother me, though.
But he's in charge of those computers. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're talking.
Follow
like
the path.
You can put the little.
Scan your die.
You put your ballot in. He's the one that's in charge of that.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Yep.
Oh, that's a big mess.
Yep. I knew that was going to happen. I was waiting for that to happen because Pirate just spilled all his beer.
Oh, man. I just hawk tooed all over the place.
And you guys don't see this because we don't have cameras. But when I bought this podcast board, I put it on a cigar box. And he asked me, why do you got it elevated like that? And I was like, just because of this. This is like the third time you've done that.
This happens a lot. That's why we keep this paper towels here.
Yeah, yeah. You just got beer all over. Oh, yeah. And, you know, I just mopped those floors for you before you came over here to make sure they're clean. So you want to talk about cleaning tables and making sure it's good for people? You come over my house and spill beer all the time, man. What's the matter with you?
Don't cry. Don't cry over spilled milk, Chewy.
Or spilled beer.
That too. We never cry over that.
All right, let's take a break. Well, Pirate.
I know. Yeah.
Annie M. You know, I want to go home.
That's what it sounded like when we went through the last hurricane.
Well, let's back up a little bit. We had Helene skirt us by.
Helene. Helene with an E.
Skirt us by and messed up our coast.
Oh, it also had a little bit inland here. We had limbs down.
Yeah, well, and
a mess.
You know, I've turned into a total beach bum, and my particular beach got shut down right away.
Oh, it was all seaweeded up and sand dunes eroded.
So they already talk about cleaning it up and everything, and just when they were about done cleaning up, old Milton came
through. Good old Milton walked right in.
Oh, my God, dude. So let's talk about it, man. What was because we only got like 3 days notice with Milton. Milton came through fast. It formed off the Yucatan, and they're like, this thing's heading. And remember the original track? It's heading right to Tampa. And yeah. I was just like, oh man. But my belief with weather and this is just hope. I feel more comfortable when the track is right on us a few days out, because the wobble is going to happen, meaning it's not going to hit us directly.
Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, wobble. Baby, wobble.
So, what did you do? What was your mindset building up to this? Because we knew one way or another this thing was coming at us, even if it's going to skirt us, which it did, but we knew it was heading this way. How'd you feel about it?
Well, the first thing was, oh shit, sticks and moss everywhere.
Yeah, I thought the same thing too, because I did have to clean up after Helene a little bit, you know?
That was the first thing came to mind is, shit, I'm going to have a lot of sticks and moss. And boy, was I right.
We got a lot of sticks.
You've seen my pile, and then I'm still cleaning it up on customers' properties.
Well, look at around town here, man. I still have three piles in my yard. Now, these truck guys have been working, you know, with the cranes and everything and getting them out of here. But, man.
Well, my neighbor lost 17 oaks, pines, and miscellaneous
trees. Yeah, I know. You took me over there, man. But
and I didn't lose any, but I did lose a lot of big branches.
But see, Yeah. But no.
And I was just thinking, man, this sucks. I mean, it sucks.
We're getting ahead of ourselves here because that's the post. And the reason why I want you to jump in here is because you were here. I was not. So to give you a little backstory, folks, at the last minute, Wednesday morning, because it was supposed to hit Wednesday night into Thursday.
He got scared and jumped in the Chewy truck.
Yeah. My uncle called me up, texted me, and says, I think you should come down here. And I said, nah, we'll be fine. You know, the track's heading towards Sarasota right now, whatever. And what convinced me is he told me about the wobble.
Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble.
Well, my dad and my aunt had their house destroyed by Hurricane Andrew,
In
1992. The original track, just a day out, was supposed to hit Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, yeah.
And it wobbled to Homestead in South Miami and did the damage that it did. And he goes, you need to get out of there. He goes, you can't take that kind of chance.
Well, Hurricane Andrew hit as a 4 to Homestead.
Right. So I wanted to give that backstory. You tell me how it was here, and then I'll jump in and tell you about my 24-hour adventure, because that's basically what it was. So you go.
Hit as a 3, and it hit somewhere south of Sarasota.
Okay.
It was kind of close to Hillsborough County, which where we reside. Where
yeah, it's Pirate and Chewy's, the bottom of it, right?
The Pirate and Chewy's radio network is close to that area. Mm-hmm. But pretty much, it was very windy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It got windy around, 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Right after. But
did you go out on your porch and pull stuff inside? And
well, yeah. So I... 2 or 3 days before I seen the map, I knew that, you know, at my business, I need to start bringing things into my warehouse, tying things down, you know, cleaning up around the yard there. I have a pretty decent sized yard. You've been there at the Pirate headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got a lot of things. There were some things I just had to sacrifice and say, well, they're not literally things that are worth anything. So if they do fly away, well, I did move a couple trailers and things around and trucks and things away from trees or things that would get. And so at my house, I there was a lot of things. I could only move so much in the garage.
Right.
And
I wonder why.
Well, it's pretty packed. But man, I don't know why. And I don't have any shed space, so I couldn't move anything in there.
Right.
And then so we...
3 sheds, you had no space.
No space. So we moved as much as we could onto the porch, and I also put some things behind the bushes.
Yeah. Now when it came by us, you said it was very windy. How long did it take until you started feeling it dying down? Because I know you didn't sleep that night. Most people didn't sleep that night.
No, so, like, we had power, and then I'd say when the wind really started hitting, it got dark out,
mm-hmm.
and I can hear, probably was hearing my neighbor's stuff, I was hearing other things, I could hear things thumping and hitting the ground.
Oh.
That means trees were hitting the ground, like large, you've seen those trees.
Ooh.
And so I knew that there was damage going on, but I couldn't see it. I went out, looked in my front yard. The thing is, it's a really dumb idea during a hurricane when you live in a well-forested area to go out and stand out underneath these large-ass trees.
So?
It's a dumb-ass idea, okay? I'm not stupid.
And well, how about like even fence debris flying around? I mean, one of those can knock you right out.
You can cut your head off. Could decapitate you.
It could kill you.
So, you know, that's why I've told my kids, I've told everybody, do not go outside during those conditions. That's why they tell you, get indoors.
But you did.
Well, I did a quick open the front door. I looked around and I couldn't see nothing.
But the wind was still howling.
Oh, man. The rain was sideways.
Uh-huh.
It was consistent rain from like noon that day. And by this time, there was so much rain, the ground was saturated.
Well, about what time did it start dying down, though?
So to answer your question, I finally fell asleep about 2:33 in the morning is when the last winds and the rain kind of slowed down.
So about 2:30, 3:30 in the morning, you felt it you know, because obviously it was going past us.
The wind was hitting, and I live in an older Florida ranch,
mm-hmm.
and the wind was hitting the window so hard that you can like hear them rattling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can hear the, now I have a new roof and I fixed my soffits and all, but I have ventilation soffits.
Right.
The wind was reaching into those little soffit openings where the ventilation goes and pushing a lot of air in there. So you can hear the house crackling as the wind was going from the front to the back, to the front to the back.
Geez.
I bet you there was a lot of ventilation going on up in the roof.
Oh, geez.
And I can hear our garage door, which is pretty old. I've been trying to replace it for a couple of years now. No one wants to do the job. So I, the door was rattling so hard. I was like, if this door breaks or pushes in anymore, it possibly could lose a roof, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Even though my roof is new.
Now you have a hole in the house, though.
So, but what happened is,
did you go out there to reinforce it?
Well, there really wasn't much to do because I did have water coming in because we had 4 inches, 5 inches of water in our driveway
mm-hmm.
that just kept piling up because the wind was blowing it kind of like how it does in some of these beaches. It was blowing the water up against our garage, and
mm-hmm.
we opened it up at one point to check out everything and shut it, you know, because there was so much water.
So, and, so about 2:30, 3 o'clock, you finally.
Oh, and at that point, you know, we were pretty tired and exhausted. I slept for a few hours, waited for sunlight because we had no lights.
Well, no. Well, so you wake up, you go outside. What's the first thing you see?
Sticks and moss.
And what was your reaction?
And trees down and fences and all over.
What was your reaction to what you saw? Was it like a holy shit?
Shit.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Wow.
And I was like, wow. And I seen roof shingle pieces from other people's houses on my grass,
mm-hmm.
plastic pieces, trash cans, other people's belongings, shit blowed everywhere, man. And then I went to my backyard,
uh-huh.
and one of our little plastic sheds had blew over.
Oh yeah. I remember I cried for you for that one. It's like, oh no, you lost a shed.
So that shed, the front barn doors blew in, obviously, because it's cheaply made.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably could have saved that shed by putting plywood in front of it, but I had no prep time for it.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nothing really majorly important in there, just a lot of gardening stuff and extra miscellaneous.
All right, right.
But that that door blew in, and of course, once the wind got inside there, you could see what it could do to a full-size home. You know, act like that shed is a miniature home.
Right, yeah, once that wind gets in there.
It really blew the hell out of it. So that's what happened in Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
Windows got blowed in. Garage doors or front doors got blowed in.
Well, the building codes at the time either didn't require the rafters be tied to the block.
They were lax.
Which changed after that. Like, my house has it.
Yes.
I don't know if yours does.
So I have something kind of like it. So they have these nails. They're like Jesus nails. They're about this long.
Jesus nails.
They're the type of nails you would.
Sad as I know what you're talking about. Oh my gosh! I'm sorry, Lord. For
do you have a sample pad for that?
What we talk about here. Yeah, I don't know, man. Oh my God, Jesus nails. Wow, that's a good one. Okay.
That's a good one.
So you got Jesus nails.
I have these long ass nails that they probably made back in the 60s that they don't make anymore, I'm sure.
Uh huh.
And you can see them some of
them. Well, they haven't made them for 2,000 years.
Yeah. And the son of a bitches are like through these big. I mean, dude, we've got 4x6s and these massive. I bet you the dudes that wore bib overalls that made this house, they knew what the hell they were doing.
Mm hmm. So you think that was reinforced when they built the house?
Well, it did. The one guy told me to inspect it. They got these nails going in like this.
That's good.
I'm crossing my fingers. They're crossed.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're going into the block, and they're going, and the blocks are filled with cement.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, man, it's. I've tried drilling through the block of my home with a drill bit. It's a son of a bitch.
It's a tough built house.
Son of a bitch,
dude. They don't make them like they used to.
It's still there, man.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it's been through a lot of hurricanes.
Yeah. So after your initial assessment, your holy shit, no power, did you go into work that day?
No, it was a week. It was a Thursday.
Yeah, it was a Thursday.
There was no power. Of course, I wasn't going to have my workers come back, but I did do assessing. So technically, I did work.
Mm-hmm.
So I got in my F-250 and drove around some roads that were pretty dangerous. But
you were able to make it to work.
Well, I drove to my shop and I assessed what was going on. Of course, there was a lot of damage at my shop.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of damage at the buildings around. There was debris everywhere. We spent ourselves probably about 2 hours picking up, mm-hmm. preparing for it, because we knew the next day we were going to have a lot of work.
So you cleaned up your shop before you cleaned up your house?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, no, I'm not just...
It's more important to have the shop in order than it is the house, because that's where we make money.
Yeah. So you did work that day because you were cleaning up around the shop.
Yeah, I personally did, but I didn't call employees. I let them deal with their own things and their own family. But the next day I did call everybody, or that afternoon I called everybody and said,
come on in.
Regardless of the situation we're in, there's a disaster. We are not frontline, but we are technically disaster frontline.
Because you're getting all kind of calls for cleanups.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we
people securing you ahead of time.
And so we got out there and we took care of a lot of our own customers and customers that were calling. And
you'd have to admit, though, man, we got lucky.
Yeah. I mean,
it could have been way worse, dude, because again, the coast got messed up. They weren't even recovered from Helene, and then another hurricane. And then on top of that, look what happened to the trop. You know, the whole damn roof came undone.
Amphitheater as well.
You told me that the other day on the phone. You said part of the roof on the amphitheater is ripped, and it is. It's like, holy crap. And not just a little piece, a big old chunk of it's gone.
Yeah, they might not be able to have concerts there, I heard, till maybe June, possibly. Yeah,
well, because they got to replace the roof.
Yeah, they're going to have equipment and scaffolding up there.
Or they got to have engineers go up there, check them out, make sure it's still sound.
Yeah.
And then they got to order a tarp. You know,
what are they going to do about baseball?
The Rays have already said there's no way they're playing there next year.
So they're going to have to borrow one of their...
Well, they're going to have to look for an alternate site.
Yeah. Yeah. Or they might have to play out of state for a while.
Well,
they got their dream come true. They might play in Toronto.
They wanted to go up to
Canada and Toronto. Canada.
No, it wasn't Canada.
Was it the Blue Jays?
Montreal.
That's Canada.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, but you said Toronto.
Montreal, I mean.
Yeah, Montreal, Canada, where the Expos.
The Expos.
Play. Yeah, who are now the Nationals, by the way. But, other than the coast, we got lucky because look what happened in North Carolina just from Helene, the first one. They're still messed up there, like bad with the flash flooding and everything.
And that was unexpected on their part because, you know, they're thinking, oh, it's just going to be a rain event.
And, yeah, you got a rain event, all right.
But one of the biggest to-dos is they live in mountains and valleys. All that
swishing water.
All that water comes downhill quickly.
Oh, yeah.
It creates these washouts. And that's what, you know, in a lot of those areas for many, 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 many years weren't inhabited.
Right.
It wasn't until the 80s, 90s.
Well, the more the people, the more the destruction is really what it comes down to.
Yes.
And all the buildings and loss of life. I mean, there was loss of life.
Well, I remember traveling through the Carolinas and Georgia back in the 70s and 80s when I was a little kid.
There was nothing out there.
And it was just desolate everywhere.
Right. Right now, look at it.
And now, just about
everywhere you go,
any interstate you go on is a metropolis.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you about my 24-hour adventure then, because I hightailed Wednesday morning, grabbed what I could grab, grabbed what cats I could grab, you know, and this was the sad part of the story, that I had to leave three cats.
So certain cats said, no, Chewy will stay.
Well, I didn't have the carriers for them.
Cat houses.
Because I can't take a cat outside in my hand with it raining the way it was.
They'll jump out.
The wind, right, and they'll run away. Couldn't take that chance.
They'd be like, well.
So I didn't choose anything in particular other than Yuki, because she's my elderly cat. I knew she was going. And then I just grabbed whoever I could. And it wasn't an easy drive, Pirate, because as I was driving away, I was worried about
the other cats,
my other cats. I was worried about the community. It wasn't just being selfish. It wasn't an easy drive, man. I grabbed what I could. And I took 60 all the way out to the turnpike because I knew better to get on I-75 because I knew people were still evacuating. Heck, I'm evacuating, but I'm trying to go against the grain, not with you know, everyone's.
You weren't going north. You were going south.
South, right. So I figured, let me take 60 and I'll take the turnpike. And then same thing, when I started getting to the Palm Beach area, the amount of growth, because I hadn't been there in like 20 years.
20 years.
Was just blew my mind. But I got to my uncle's house, I unpacked and, you know, got the cats all settled of who was there. And then he had the storm on, and I asked him if he can change it. And he goes, well, you don't want to know what's going on. I said, at this point, it doesn't matter.
Right.
I said, if my house gets hit, if Tampa gets hit, I'm going to return to destruction and I'll deal with it. So he could tell I was stressed, and he understood. He understood. And we went out to dinner that night, and I was really disengaged. I feel bad that I was disengaged, but I just was because I was worried about home. Didn't sleep well that night. Got up in the morning. First thing I did was turn on the news. And luckily, the news clip got to the point where they showed a little bit of Tampa, and I can tell it wasn't that bad. It's like, cool. So I waited till that afternoon before I left. So got everything gathered back up, got the cats and the carriers, started heading north on the turnpike. Tire pressure sensor went off. I was like, oh, shit. So I topped it off, went away. I was like, well, thank God, you know, because I didn't have any valve stems with me or anything. I had green slime and I had my pump, but it's like, damn it, I don't need that. And then just to be smart, even though I had 3/4 of a tank, topped it off too. Because everyone I talked to coming back, they're like, you might not be able to come back with the road conditions and everything. I was like, yeah, but I got no choice. I got to head back. I can tell you, driving up north on the turnpike, obviously it didn't hit over there. Now, Fort Pierce got torn up with some tornadoes, though, on the East Coast. Their roofs, everything, a lot of damage. I didn't see that from the turnpike.
There were tornadoes.
So even though the hurricane didn't hit Fort Pierce, the outer bands did what it did. Because the
southern tier of Florida, even over by Fort Myers, they had them.
Yeah.
They went across the state, those tornadoes.
And it was even windy in Miami.
Was it now?
Oh, yeah. It wasn't like gusty. Well, it was gusty, but
limbs
it was like,
were just shaking.
Yeah, just a little.
Yeah.
Like 20, 30 mile an hour winds.
Yeah, you'll feel that.
Every intermittent. So it was like, man. So driving back wasn't easy. But going up the turnpike, not a problem. It wasn't that busy. Now, when I got to Yeehaw Junction, that was a mess, meaning people trying to get off the turnpike to go east or west on 60.
Yeah.
So that probably took a good 30 minutes to get through it. And I said, that's fine. And I'm still at daytime here. We're talking Thursday. So I'm driving down 60 West. I don't see anything yet until I got into Lake Wales. And then, like, every other traffic light was out. But I didn't see too much damage yet, though. But the power was
minimal.
Yeah, but the power was out. But as I kept heading west, it started increasingly starting to get worse. And then Bartow was a little bit of a chore to get through. Mulberry wasn't too bad. Mulberry had power. So all the traffic lights in Mulberry worked. Where it started to hit me about our area is when I got to about the Sydney area on 60.
Oh, yeah.
And they already had the road blocked. They already had tree cutters out there. They had the electricians out there. I was like, ah, dang, these people are out here fast. Good for them. You know, let me find that clap here. Where are we at? Here we go. You know, they're already out there already working.
Yeah.
But of course, as soon as I started getting in the Brandon area, well, what do we not have? Power.
His hour.
So every major intersection from Dover Road, Miller, Valrico Road, and you told me to stay on 60. You said, don't go down Valrico. It's flooded. You heard the word on that. And you're right, because they had the Bob's barricades up already.
Oh, yeah, it's flooded.
And it looked like a pool down there by the McDonald's.
Yep,
right, Mac. Right by my gym, La Fitness.
Oh, yeah.
So it took a little inching to get back. Luckily, I had the friends of mine, stop by the house and check on the cats. Because that's what was my concern. So they did this for me before I head back. And I was like, any noticeable damage to the house? No. I was like, okay, cool. I mean, but I was still worried. I still wanted to see it for myself, right? But they said, yeah, we had to pull off on the side of the road. You got branches all over the place. I was like, oh, boy. Okay. So I'm inching back into Brandon. It took a little bit because every light's a four-way stop. And I thought to myself, where are all these people going? I am just trying to get home, you know, but what are people doing up and down 60? And I was just like, nothing's open. You know, I had a friend call me. He says, hey, can you see if Culver's is open?
I'm That's like, what they were looking for.
I was like, get out of here. Culver's is open. The whole grid is down.
People were looking for gas
right.
and food.
Right. So I pull up to my house and they were right. I could not pull into my driveway because that Ponciana came apart. Not dead. The tree's still there, but the branches, right?
Yeah.
So I had to get out of my car. And luckily, they were only 2-3 inches. And I was pulling them out of the way. Of course, immediately, a branch whipped and cut a good Indiana Jones blood gash right across my right shin.
Nice.
So it didn't hurt, but I was gushing, bleeding. So I'm trying to clear the driveway. Get the car in there because the cats had enough. I mean, we're talking, you know, 2-4 hour and then a 6 hour drive. 2-4 hours to get down there, 6 hours to get back. Yeah. They had enough. They were stressed and I was just wanted to get home. I knew there wasn't power. I didn't care about that. So I cleared the driveway and was able to pull in, get all the cats inside, settle in, call everybody up that I knew. And then it was just like, it was just like, thank God the house is good. Thank God we're good. We're just going to have a lot of cleanup to do, man. And of course, we have no power. So I slept on my back porch, dude. It was like camping. Remember how like cool wind it was afterwards? Yeah. That was for not having power. That helped a lot.
Yeah, but the humidity went down a little bit that day.
Yeah.
It was a little bit. I think we had a cold front come in the next day.
Yeah, but how long did it take before you got power back? How many days were you out of power?
So we were looking about 4.5 days at my house, and we were about a full week at my shop.
Okay. I think I'm similar to you, 4.5 to 5 days. By, I want to say, Sunday night,
yeah,
I got power back.
And we ran.
Those guys were working their asses off.
We ran a generator at our shop,
mm-hmm.
and we ran it just, you know, power up computers and things like that. And
right, right.
Our landlord had ran the pump for a certain amount of time. So it was good. We got to get things going.
Yeah.
Of course, we had a downed pole that had a 2 transformers completely fall off of the pole.
That's why it took longer to get power to your house.
And they finally had these guys from Indiana, these power guys that came in, and they pulled out the old broken pole with their truck, and they put in a new one. They had an auger.
Yep. They had to do that right over here.
Yeah, and they put put the new pole in.
I had one pole at like 45-degree angle.
And then they put up 2 new transformers. And
amazing how fast those guys worked, man. Yeah. Amazing.
And then the wires that were there, they pieced them together. And of course, now there's a lot of Spectrum and Frontier wires laying around all over the place.
Oh, yeah. Well, and then, you know, my neighbor does tree cutting, and he was actually home. I just went over there just to check on him. He's good. I'm good. You know, and, you know, he was looking around. He was like, man, this is going to take weeks to clean up.
Oh,
I was like,
months.
I know. And he said he used to be a lineman. And so when he saw that 45-degree power pole, and I was like, well, what do you think? And he goes, 2 weeks easily. I'm like, damn it. And he goes, you don't have a generator, do you? I was like, nope. I goes, I know you do. And he goes, well, come on over if you want a fan or something like that. I was like, thanks, man. But, you know, I appreciate that. But I still think we got lucky, man, because I went down to the beach this past weekend in Pinellas County, went to Treasure Island, went to Paso Grill. Man, dude. Those people got messed up, and they got hit with the double whammy. I mean, I saw a rental home that the sand was halfway into the house, the whole front door blown out, the kitchen messed up, because I can imagine all that water and sand that came in. I got a picture I'll show you later of a truck that's still buried in sand. I was just like, whoa. So me being selfish about my beach time, I'm like, I'm not being selfish anymore. These people got a lot of work to do. there's volunteer opportunity out there. Maybe
it's going to take a while. Oh yeah, man. That out, man.
Yeah, they had the big trucks out there dredging the sand.
Think about all the financial costs that are involved.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
With remodeling, it could take probably 2 years to fix that stuff.
Our insurance is going to go up as a result of this.
I mean, a lot of it, what part is covered and what part isn't? I mean, there's a lot that insurance can't cover. I mean, they'll give you a check, but does it really cover what you need?
That's what it's supposed to do.
It doesn't.
It doesn't. It's only a down payment.
I think it's just enough. Yeah, because things have risen. Costs have risen of supplies, labor.
Yeah.
And really, I mean, when you get that check, we'll give you $25,000.
Well, who can afford it, though?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I mean, I just think that it's going to take a couple of years to get things back to normal. And that's if next year we don't get another storm. Because, you know.
Oh, guaranteed. That maybe not a direct hit, you know, but it's going to happen. But I tell you, next year, I'm pretty prepped. Got storm shutters, plenty of water, emergency food, cat food. You know, I got cats. Got to have extra cat food, right? So I don't worry about the provisions. Definitely need a generator. Definitely need a chainsaw, which I'm going to get with you on next spring. And I don't know. We'll see what else I can conjure up. I mean, I'm going to need a bin because I want good 12-gauge power cords. Because my intent with my generator is not to generate my house. I'm not going to pay an electrician to put the panel out there. I don't care about that. I just want to be able to run the refrigerator, a fan, and a light. Because the biggest thing I guess I lost out of this is my refrigerator and my beer, you know, wah, wah, wah. But if that's what I lost, I'll take it. Plus, it was a good opportunity to clean that refrigerator. I found all kind of sauce and goo and hair in there I didn't know existed.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, how does hair get in here? You know, that part I didn't understand. How did hair get in the dang refrigerator?
Well, do you have gals coming over here ever to help you cook?
Oh, yeah. They're here all the time. Don't you know that,
those
man?
Girls you show on the thread?
Yeah.
Are they coming?
Oh, they're here all the time. What are you talking about?
Hang out here.
I get them to cook for me, man.
Oh, well, hell. Then that's why you got hair in there.
Maybe it's that hair.
What colors are these hairs? All kind of different?
I don't discriminate.
Red, green, yellow, what?
I don't discriminate.
Okay.
You know? But,
well,
what do you thought? I don't know.
Well, let's just be thankful, one thing.
Let's be thankful.
And the other thing is I think out of all the people is the tornado people, because there's no
messed up more.
There's no way you can look at a chart and say,
oh, yeah,
oh, the tornado's coming. No, it just pops
right
out of the sky.
Right. At least with the hurricane, we can prepare.
We can prepare. But with those tornadoes, and that goes with the folks that are in Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, Indiana, all those areas.
Yeah, no, just Fort Pierce got messed up, man.
Yeah, Fort Myers had a whole trailer park messed up, man.
From a tornado?
Yeah, did you see that on the news?
Oh, no. Well,
that's where they were coming on shore first, because I was watching the guy on the I was using my battery-powered TV that I got. Okay.
Right.
And I was watching the Channel 10, 13, all them channels.
Yeah.
And those guys were talking about, we see some tornadoes coming.
Yeah.
And they were coming on shore from the banding. And these tornadoes, they were showing the towns, in 10 minutes, this town's going to get it. In 5 minutes, this town's going to get it. They were talking about the path of these tornadoes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, oh, shit. Those people don't have much time to react. You know, if a tornado's coming, you know, you got maybe a minute or two once you hear that.
Right.
Because I think those things take whole house. That, like, it don't matter how strong the house is.
Mm-hmm.
Tornadoes are 200 plus mile an hour.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they can take out a brick wall, take a roof off. It don't matter about hurricane straps or how many roofing tiles.
Right, it doesn't matter.
It's taking it out, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I have seen tornadoes do the unspeakable.
Tornadoes are scary.
Yeah, they're more scarier. I mean, obviously, if you're in St. Pete or Treasure Island, whatever hell, and a hurricane four hits, yeah, everything's going to get decimated. But if you're inland and a hurricane four hits, by the time wind shear hits and all that BS, 100 mile an hour, the house can probably handle that for a little bit of time until the eye blows over.
Right.
But 200?
Mm-mm.
No.
Wait, 200 plus.
Yes. I mean, those things are unpredictable, man.
Yeah.
They, especially if they come down right on top of you.
They've calculated winds up to 400 or 500 miles an hour in the funnel.
Those are those F4 and F5 gimmicks.
Yeah. God. Yeah. Yeah. No, tornado. We're lucky. The only tornadoes we deal with here are water spouts. And as soon as they hit the coast, they blow up.
I think they consider those F1s, you know.
No, they are. Yeah. They're definitely F1s.
But the ones that the hurricanes bring in, they're a little bit more volatile.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because they're getting pushed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, count our blessings, you know, but I think we can always prepare more, and I will be prepared more because I don't want to lose power again. I've lived here for 40 plus years, and this is probably the fourth or fifth time I've lost power. And I told myself every time, go get it. Well, no, I told myself last time, not every time, last time, go get a generator. I didn't. Now I kick myself for it because that's the other thing. I can run the TV too, because I do have a regular, you see that square up there by the speaker? That's a digital antenna for over the air for like what you call regular man TV.
I got one just like that.
Yeah. So I can still plug in just the TV, plug in a cord and run the generator to see what the hell's going on TV, which would help because, you know, radio is fine. I got plenty of radios, plenty of batteries, but it's nice to see it, you know, so be more prepared for next year, I guess, man.
You got it. We are back with Florida Man, the stories that all you want to hear.
There we go.
Florida man arrested after explosive devices found in casino toilet.
Oh, was this guy locally at Hard Rock?
Yep. This guy's named Brian Robert Eckley. He was supposedly accused. He's 46 years old, of Tampa, of course. On October 30th, charged with two counts of making and placing destructive devices with intent to harm. And this is in the Hard Rock Casino in Tampa.
Wow.
Yeah.
That could have been really bad if that went off. I'm glad they caught him.
And these were radio controlled, of course.
Oh boy. Can you imagine if that happened here, dude, the destruction that could have taken.
Well, I mean, I don't know if those were like the type that are going to take out the whole casino, but it would have hurt when it maimed somebody or hurt somebody. Yeah,
the loss of life.
Yes. It would have made people scared.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know what it is? They're going to have to increase security there again, because I don't know if you remember during COVID, remember all the entry points you had to go through security there and then they got rid of them? I bet you that's coming back.
Well, let's move down the story here. It says employees at the casino found the devices before they could cause damage. So, I mean, I have noticed in the casino that there are always people in the banyos cleaning them.
Yeah, yeah.
They have good clean banyos.
Oh, yeah, they got to.
I mean, you could lay down on them floors. They don't got piss everywhere.
Right. No, they keep those. They're high class.
Dude. Yeah. They got a lot of marble in them. They're pretty nice banyos.
Yeah, they're good banyos.
I mean, they don't stink or smell.
Well, the amount of money that they're sucking in, they can afford to pay janitors to have a clean banyo. And
they put a lot of marble in them, son of bitches. They even have, like, in one of them, I think it had, like, gold soffits or gold, what is it called, faucets.
Well, you're going to spill your beer again.
I know. I see that there. It's empty, by the way.
But yeah, man, I'm glad they caught him, dude. That's crazy.
Yeah, so the Florida State law enforcement agencies were working together, and they arrested him. And of course, State Attorney Susie Lopez says that they're gonna convict him and try him and all that other good stuff.
Yeah,
and so that's the first story here.
What a loser.
Okay, the next Florida man story is coming up right here. Florida man arrested after allegedly trying to steal generator powering traffic light after hurricane.
Jeez. Here we go.
Ready? Sun City, Florida, another Hillsborough County.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So this guy was arrested Sunday after allegedly trying to steal a generator being used to power a traffic light that was likely damaged during Hurricane Milton.
Mm-hmm.
And Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office said the 40-year-old Soyel Zapata Dai was charged with third-degree grand theft during a state of emergency.
He just wanted power, man.
Well, sheriff's office said that they reported that TECO workers provided photos of the man and they stopped from stealing a generator on the corner of Sun City Boulevard and Stoneham Drive.
Wow.
Along with photos, the workers provided the sheriff's office with the man's license plate.
Caught.
Man, he's ballsy, dude.
Busted. Yeah, right now in the middle of the daylight. When the
daylight, he's got his
they're linemen everywhere. There's tree cutters everywhere. There's landscapers everywhere. Cops are everywhere. But wow.
Yeah. And they arrested him at his own door, at his own home. Pretty much, you know, this guy really, I mean, he's just, here's a picture of the generator. Of course. So I really love these Florida man stories. They just they definitely
it's the gift that keeps on giving.
Oh, Clark. they keep giving. I mean,
that it is, Edward.
So, all right. Here we go. Here's a good one. Coming up, Florida man wins $1 million top prize playing Gold Rush scratch-off game.
Oh, wow.
A Hialeah man struck gold after playing scratch-off game he bought from a supermarket. And the Florida announced that Miguel Villavicencio, 59 years old, claimed the $1 million top prize playing the $5 Gold Rush doubler game.
$1 million.
So he bought a $5 ticket, okay. Chewy. Yeah, $1
million. Yes.
And he bought it at Las Cuatro Hermanas Supermarket, located on East 41st Street in Hialeah.
Wow.
And the retailer gets $2,000 bonus commission for the sale.
You know, I heard this happened right around the hurricane, too. So talk about good timing. You know, somebody got a little luck here, you know, win the lottery like that.
Dude, wouldn't that be something?
On a scratch off.
I know, man.
Yeah, I know. That you know, I don't think I could retire off of $1 million because when it's said and done, you're going to have about $550,000 after taxes. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. $550,000 is a good chunk of change. And I'll buy a couple toys and then put the rest away for, you know, retirement. You know, that's all that would be for me if I won that. It wouldn't be like, you know, oh, now Chewie's driving around a Corvette. What I mean by toys was probably buy that boat, you know.
Bizzo.
Yeah, and then have enough money to pay for a rental somewhere at one of those slips so I don't have to haul it.
There you go.
Yeah, and that's probably the most I would do with that money.
Yeah, to each his own.
And then invite you guys out and go on the boat, and you know, we can do whatever, you know. Stay away from Beer Can Island, though. That's too much for me. Screw that place.
Yeah, bring my fishing pole and beer cooler. Yeah, we'll
just
be good.
There somewhere. Yeah, just go find a spot and
get her done.
Hang out. Yeah. Of course, it'll be somewhere near Fort DeSoto. But
last story for Florida man. Florida man smashes porch pirate's getaway car with rental Cybertruck.
Oh, boy. Oh, so somebody rented a Cybertruck?
I didn't know. Oh, there wow. It is. Look at that. Some bitch is all wrecked.
Holy crap, man. He freaking wrecked a $100,000 truck. What's the matter with him?
Yeah, so this guy rented this Cybertruck and spotted someone stealing a package from his doorstep as he drove and used the EV to enforce the Genesis G80 off of the road.
Mm-hmm.
So the Tesla Cybertruck is, you know what this is, folks. It's a big old battery powered Tesla vehicle.
Yeah.
It looks like a bizarre pickup truck.
It does look bizarre. I tell you what, though, I saw a technological review on it. It's really cool, but it's $100,000 and it's an EV. Sorry, not interested.
Yeah. So this Florida man, of course, he became a vigilante when he saw these folks in Brooksville, Florida, at a home. And they were up on the porch, and they were running out with a box. So at this point, he decided to accelerate his rental truck and crashed into the burglar's car and a tree. Wow.
Dang.
So he hit that Hyundai Genesis pretty fast. And those things have heavy batteries, too.
Yeah, they're heavy. They're heavier cars, heavier trucks, whatever it is.
Yeah, and that was a Genesis G80. So, you know, this guy, you know, I don't know what was in those packages, but, you know, the Cybertruck really damaged it. The hood quarter panel, the front bumper was impacted. And, of course, says that they're handling this, this people that rented them handling the case because there's insurance on it without any issue.
Yeah.
And, wow, what a, you know, I mean, hey, at least the guy was, you know, trying to be a vigilante. That's all I can say. So
he's trying to get his thing. And, you know, the other day I saw a Cybertruck on the side of the road with the Florida Road Ranger helping him because it was broke down or something. I was like, geez, you know, you think for $100,000, he gets, you know, a working truck, but, there's been some problems, but these people who first bought them are the test beds. They don't realize it. You only can test so much in a factory, you know, or loaning them to a couple employees. You need mass rollouts of testing to work out the kinks in this. So, you know, I don't know. If I had $100,000 to spend on a truck, I can find other things to do with that $100,000. A different vehicle is what I'm saying.
You know, get a King Ranch.
Get that King Ranch dually.
Dually that you're looking for.
Right, yeah.
I think you would probably get one of those if you got the scratch-off
Millions. Yeah, that would be the other toy. There you go. A boat and a dually.
Oh, yeah.
But that's it.
You'd be happy there,
too. That's it. Everything else would be a couple minor upgrades. You know, I would foresee... I would hire a contractor to do this because I wouldn't do it myself. I'll knock down that wall between the two bedrooms and turn that into an arcade. Yeah. That'd
be badass.
Yeah. Think about it. It's two bedrooms combined.
Yeah, you don't need that.
And then that back bedroom has a bathroom. So, you know.
It would have a bathroom for the casino or for your room.
For the arcade.
For arcade, yeah.
Yeah. That's what I would do.
And it even has like a little sink so we can make cocktails there. Maybe
that's
even
what I would
bar.
Do. I'd have them knock down the closet in that conjoining wall and then close up the roof, of course, put in all new carpet and then start moving machines in there and then plenty of room for expansion. You know,
pinball.
But that's all the
plenty of Pac-Man.
Yeah, but that's all the dream.
Oh, I'm getting excited right now.
I know. Well, that'll wrap it up for Florida Man.
That is.
Florida Man News.
Florida Man News.
All right. So I experimented on you tonight and nothing gay or sexual here, folks. Just to clarify that, you know.
Yeah, what's your verbiage, Chewy, when you're talking about
I mean you no harm.
But so I did a 1 hour slow cook chicken wings on the gas grill. My charcoal grill is not big enough. I still use a hibachi. But think about it. I'm cooking for myself. So the hibachi still works. And the damn thing's 20 years old. Okay.
20 years.
And it still works for me. So I will eventually get a better charcoal grill. But for now, I got the gas too, which is fine. So I found this recipe online and got a tip from Ace Man. Remember Ace Man up in Ohio? He was our only guest on our show so far. He called
Ace
he
is
called
the in. Place for the helpful.
Yeah, and he wants place. To be on the show again. By the way, he wants to talk about beer. We can definitely do a subject on beer. But he gave me a couple tips and basically did a. I basted it in salt and an all seasoning and some olive oil. And I let that settle or marinate for a couple hours, and then 300 degrees on the gas grill. I actually put a pan with some charcoal and hickory chips in there. On top of the charcoal are the mesquite Kingsford makes. I like their.
And that was interesting that you used mesquite.
Yeah, well, I like mesquite
because mesquite is a strong smoke.
I like that smoke though. So and it was easy. It 30 minutes on one side, flip it. Baste it with Texas Pete hot sauce. Pick whatever hot sauce you want. Texas Pete hot sauce and a little bit of Florida cracker sauce. And then let that cook for another 30 minutes. And you verified. You know, I did a temperature check because you got to be careful with chicken. But I did a temperature check. We were good. You visually because you're a grilling connoisseur here. And I think I've been into it before you did. And I was quite proud of myself, I should say. And then you followed up with, whoa, these are pretty good, man. So I was like, oh, man, I didn't screw this up. Because I'm new at this slow cooking, grilling thing. I'm still relatively new at charcoal. I mean, think about it. I've only been doing keto for a year, and that's when I started
grilling. So what was the first thing you noticed about the meat from the slow cooking, the texture of the meat? What did you feel?
That it was pink in some spots, and I immediately tasted the smoke.
And it was very moist.
Yes, right. And that's what I learned with chicken on the bone. That's what the slow cooking introduces. Because about a month ago, I tried it with chicken breast. Didn't work out so well because it's something about the bone, and there is moisture in the bone
when it cooks.
That helps keep the humidity.
And the fact that you cooked it at such a low temperature, you said you kept it around 225-ish or so?
300.
Well, 300,
that's okay. The lowest I could get my grill.
The recipe
I found, they said 250 to 300 is fine.
Probably because of the low dome on your grill.
Yeah.
If the heat stays low, there's no escape outlet either. There's no opening to let the smoke out or the heat out.
Right, right.
But if you cook that chicken low temperature, it will keep the moisture and won't cook the moisture out.
So that has a little bit to do with it too.
But you can, like we were talking off the air, is you can take a metal tray like you have your charcoal and put a little bit of water.
Okay.
Some folks put apple cider vinegar sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Just to keep up the humidity in there.
I've told you I've put pineapple and orange juice before, too, to give a little bit of moisture in the air, and then it has, like, that citrusy. So you can experiment with flavors and use this tray. So you put this tray on the grill top or on a second layer shelf.
Yeah, I don't have that.
But if you don't, you can just set it in there.
Yeah, I got the smallest Weber gas grill you can get.
I've seen that. Yeah. It's pretty small.
And it works for me.
It works fine.
Yeah.
But you can add moisture. So if you're cooking a boneless chicken breast or any boneless meat that doesn't have moisture in it, because you will cook the moisture out of it.
Okay.
You know, you've had chicken that's dry before. Yeah. And you can put moisture back into the chicken by keeping the atmosphere of the grill.
Well, maybe I'll try that with the chicken breast next time. Maybe the apple cider vinegar or something.
Oh, yeah. You'll keep it moist in there, and that will help.
Yeah.
Also basting them.
Yeah. But see, my next charcoal grill is not just going to be a charcoal grill. It's also going to be a smoker, because I am starting to appreciate the art of smoking meat. And it is an art, as you said, or as I just said, because it's not like you throw it on the grill and 10 minutes later, you're ready to start eating it.
It takes time to craft it.
Right. Well, what's the idea of it's that slow, low temperature cooking that just gets all the moisture, the smoky flavor from the charcoal and the hickory chips, whatever chips you want, the seasoning. It allows all that to settle in because, I did season it, you know, beforehand as well. And you tasted a little bit of the olive oil in the meat because it got infused into the skin.
Because you cook slow.
Yeah.
It didn't cook it off and let it just drip out.
Well, I used the right olive oil. You got to use the lighter version of the olive oil.
Sure.
If I used the regular stuff, that would have all been charcoal black chicken wings, you know.
Sure.
So, yeah, I know a couple things, but I want to get into the art of smoking meat. I think it's worth it. I think it's worth taking a slab of meat, you know, especially beef. You know, like those ribs, you know, put them on there for 6 hours because that's the payoff. And you know, and it's not that hard. You got to be home, obviously. You got to monitor it. But it's not like you're going out there every 5 minutes and lifting the lid. No, you just let it sit.
Let it be.
I only went out on the porch to check the thermometer on it to make sure it was staying at 300. And if it got a little high, I open the lid for a second, close it. I know I let the flavors out. They say, don't lift the lid. Look, I'm not being a purist like that. Just the fact on my first attempt, these wings came out the way they did. I've never made wings like this before. I've used the air fryer. I did the old school. Remember the Fry Daddies? You know, I cooked them in Fry Daddies. And I've never made it like this. I like this. It's worth the time. It only took an hour.
Yeah, you know? So I've been doing smoked wings for ages and ages.
Yeah.
And I've tried all types of recipes and all. But I will say your recipe is up there with just all the other ones, even some of the barbecue places I go to.
other than the recipe guidelines, I winged it on my own stuff. I came up with the salt. I came up with the all seasoning. I came up with the olive oil. And I think that's just a little bit of experience, you know,
sure.
and experimentation. And I said, how bad can I screw these up? They're just wings, you know, and I didn't let them burn.
I mean, you could have dried them out easily.
Yeah.
You could have easily burnt them or had the outside like really tough.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they were very
well. I was
tender.
Smart. I was smart not to put them on any of the part of the ring on the grates where it's solid, because that's where it's hotter.
Very hot.
So everything was basically the what do they call it? Not off center cooking. What's indirect?
Induction.
Well, indirect cooking, where you don't have the heat directly on the meat, but with the dome, things will circle around. Yeah. Yeah, offset cooking, yes. Whatever you call it. But yeah, no, those are good, man. And I got leftover, so I guess I'll be munching on those tomorrow after Pizza the Rock.
That'll be a little evening appetizer.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, that's pretty much we'll wrap up the show, I guess.
Yeah, that'll go ahead and wrap up show number 36. Sorry for the break, folks, but we had a bit of storm issues around here that led into timing issues. Pirate has certainly been working his butt off. I've been busy with my work, but, you know, the difference with
We had power outages.
Power outage, you know.
We had some personal...
You definitely work longer than I do is what I'm saying. I mean, when I'm done with work, I'm done with it for the day. Whereas, you know, you got extended hours and extra things to do. So I get why we couldn't do a show, because you're a busy dude. You had parties to put together, impromptu parties to put together.
Well, we did have
a little Halloween show.
Halloween impromptu we went to.
Yeah, nobody dressed up. Nobody dressed up. It was just a last minute thing. We were going to do the big party, but decided not to. And
I know that you really like to dress up for Halloween. So next year, let's just keep our fingers crossed that there's
no storms.
You know, that's the bad thing about October is you never know.
It's one of the worst months.
You never know what's going to happen. Yeah. It could ruin. And you know,
ruin a lot of things. It's ruining my zen, man. I want to get to the beach. You don't know how much I'm dying. I mean, I did go Sunday, but it's not my beach. Paso Grill's nice, but that's just not my beach. So I'm dying to get back to my beach, man. I just cannot wait.
Well, little by little, each day.
Yep. We'll get there.
Florida and this area and other parts of the country as well will get back to normal.
Yeah, we'll recover.
Or some set.
Yeah.
Some way.
Yeah.
So
let's do it. That's all over the road with Pirate and Chewbacca. The closing things there that I haven't said in a while, please send us an email at akebonoradio@gmail.com. Our show is called All Over the Road with Pirate and Chewbacca, and you can find us on our website, akebonoradio.com. And we are on X, so look for the posting there as well. And we're on Facebook, or Fakebook, as Pirate likes to call it. So we got some of the socials out there. I don't know if to do anything more than that. You know, TikTok will be useless. Instagram will be useless, because those are picture and video sites. So, you know, but we get the word out there. And I know I got some family members that ask me for a text when it's available. So they'll know as well. So there's ways to get a hold of this show. So thanks for listening to the show. And we'll talk to you later.
And one more closing thing. Tomorrow morning when we wake up, no matter who wins,
we're going to have a new president.
We will have the announcement of a new president. And the one good thing is that there will be no more campaign signs, no more campaigning. And the one thing is, we're all Americans.
God bless the USA.